I want to take just a minute before I get started on my message to just tell you all how much I do appreciate every one of you, and I mean that in all sincerity. After last night, I did go home, and I did again at 4 o'clock this morning think about all the effort that all you people went to and all the work you did, and for someone like me. And I just felt so unworthy of every bit of it. And I was truly amazed. Now, some of you here use the expression sometimes, God's timing is perfect. Well, let me tell you how that timing went last night. As I came up the driveway to Bart and Tracy's house last night, my phone rang. I couldn't get the phone out of my pocket. And so I waited until I got there, and by then I'd forgotten that it had rung. And so I went on in, and of course was shocked. And after a few minutes, I thought, oh my goodness, I forgot to check my phone. The message on the phone said, "I'm sorry, I'm not able to be there for your party." If that message had come 5 minutes sooner, you all's surprise would have been blown. I would have known it. So I guess you all can say God's timing was perfect in that sense, because it was absolutely amazing to me that I had missed it. But I could have, if I'd have got that phone out of my pocket in time, I could have known what was going to happen. Thank you all. Now, I'm not going to take more of our time here this morning on something that's that personal, but I can assure you that that I truly am appreciative. I'm thankful, as Pam mentioned this morning, I'm thankful that I am one of God's children, that I am saved, and that I've been one of his children for many, many years, and I've never been sorry of a single day that I've been one of his children. Now, I'm sure that there have been many times that he's been sorry of the way that I've misbehaved. And I know that as you all hear me preach, that I'll answer for that. I have many times, and I will probably more in the future. But he still loves me. He still chastises me. He still lets me know whenever that I've done wrong. I want to use some scripture this morning. It's probably kind of a little unusual scripture. I suspect that it may be applicable to almost everyone here this morning. And so you won't need to look around or think, okay, who's here this morning that he's picking on? So I think probably that if you listen, you may say, you know, this probably is is applicable to me. I've already seen some fingers pointing at another person. So Shirley used to say to me, "Kent, you know, you talk so much," and she said, "You know, you should have an allocation of the number of words that you can use in a day." And sometimes she would say to me earlier in the morning, she'd say, "You've almost used up your allotment of words for the day." And that was true. I do talk a lot. If I have a thought that I want you to remember this morning, it's out of the first chapter of the book of James. And James said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, I have a lot of difficulty in keeping that in the order that it belongs, because I'm one of these people who shoots from the hip a lot of the times instead of thinking my thoughts through before I express them. And it gets me in trouble often. I tell people that when I first began preaching, I used to, my pastor was my mentor at the time, and I had a great amount of appreciation for him, a great amount of respect for him. I loved him. And quite often I would ask him something, usually pertaining to the scripture, and especially as we were traveling together, and I'd ask him the question, and he didn't answer me. And so we'd ride along for maybe 2 miles, 5 miles, and he still hadn't answered me. Well, maybe he didn't hear me. So I'd ask him again. Well, he had heard me the first time, but a little bit he had said, well, now if you start over in Deuteronomy, you'll find where it says so-and-so, and then in Joshua, it's so-and-so, and then if you get over to Matthew, and then when you get on over to Acts, and he, you know, he'd been sitting there all that time thinking about how he was going to answer me and give me a right answer. And I find that I wish I could be more like that and be more thoughtful before I give an answer sometimes, because sometimes after I give it, I thought, you know, why in the world did I say that? Now, I'm probably the only person here who has that experience, but I want you to listen to what James said. If you think maybe that's a fairly easy thing to and an easy text for you to handle, hang on. I just have begun. Let us be swift to hear and slow to speak. James said this, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Now here we go. Even so is the tongue a little member. I want you, every one of you have got one of these. So just listen. And if you're looking around to see now who I'm talking about, it's those of you who qualify to have a tongue in your mouth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, I've been watching the past week occasionally on the TV the horrendous fires that they've been experiencing in California. And of course, I can relate considerably to what's going on there, because we at one point in time lived to where we were threatened with a similar situation. Not nearly as drastic as what it is right now, but I do understand that, and it's horrible. Can't even begin to imagine. But you see, it didn't start big like that. It started little, and then it continued to be fueled. And it continued to grow and to mount and to become so devastating. Let me tell you something this morning, that our words are the most critical things that we have to use today. I've said a lot of times that we have become a very sophisticated people. You know, we talk about all of the scriptures and how that man treated man in the old days, and how that, you know, we slaughtered people by the hundreds of thousands. We've become a little more sophisticated today. We don't want all that blood and guts. But we've got the most deadly weapon at our disposal, and that we can kill people instantly and never bat an eye. Now, I don't mean physically that we're going to kill them, but we can destroy their lives with that little unruly member, the tongue. And oftentimes, we very deliberately use it as a weapon to destroy other people's lives. Don't think for a single second that any of us are exempt, because we are not. I want you to listen to what James says. He says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. I'm going to read one more for you here. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. Now think about that. James writing here, you know, of all the things he could have written about, Of all the things that God could be admonishing His children, His people about, He chooses to say unto them that, you know, one of the little things that sometimes causes us more trouble and gets us into more trouble and is more damnable to us than any other member of our body is our tongue. Our people today don't have any problem whatsoever being critical of how people are living their lives by what they see that they're subjecting their bodies to. And we all have our biases and we all have our opinions about how people should be living and what they should be doing, how they should be taking care of themselves. And we see many times people who are literally destroying these physical bodies by the way they're living. But what many times we don't see is that people are destroying their same lives, and not just their physical bodies, but all of their life by the unruly member of the tongue. The Bible says no man can tame it. You all, some of you, maybe not all of you, and I shared this, I think the deacons were there when I shared this down at Tennessee. And I was talking and I said, you know, after the Lord had called me to preach, and what I was using down there was a demonstration. Maybe you have some more there for that one. Anyway, I was using the scripture or the examples in the Word of the Lord of what saved people will do that a Christian won't do. And a lot of our people don't understand that there is a difference in, you know, a saved person. We're saved. We've mentioned that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're always Christian, that we're always Christ-like. Now, we want to be, and we should be, but there just get to be some times whenever that temper, that anger, which I'm a professional in this. I know what I'm talking about now. Some of you don't. Some of you have been blessed in not having one, but I still have one. Had one all my life, you know that. But what I started to say was after God called me to preach, and I was still saved, but I wasn't paying attention. Well, I wasn't obeying what the Lord wanted to do, and I got right back out, and I was cussing more than I ever did before. Now, some of you are a little more dignified than I am, and so you'd say, well, he was using profanity, or he was swearing. That was just plain old cussing to me. And that's still what I think of it. Now, I'm not bragging about this, but I've got a point that I want you to understand. And it was not second nature, it was first nature. You know, I mean, that's just the way it rolled. And there were more words of my vocabulary that were cuss words than there probably was of the proper English language. But let me just put in a little P.S. here, let me tell you something. If you can't punctuate your vocabulary without the usage of cuss words, you don't have a very good vocabulary. You need to work on it. I can still get you told just as effectively and efficiently without the use of the cuss words as I could with it. Anyway, as I begin to think it, I think, Lord, you know, you've called me to preach, and what if sometime I was up there, and this is, you know, the way I try. You're talking about talking to the Lord. I don't need a chalkboard. and he doesn't need one to talk to me. You know, you were right 100% on that, Joyce. But I'd be talking to the Lord, you know, and I'm always trying to plead my case with him as to why not to preach. I said, Lord, what if sometime I was up there preaching when them cuss words come out? You know, when you get to where that you're just cussing so much that it's just first nature to you, you don't even think about it. Now, some of you are sitting there almost with a quizzical look on your face like you can't even imagine such a thing. Well, I hope you never can. But some of us have used a few of them. And a few maybe have used a lot of them. And I'd say, Lord, you know, that would ruin me. Get up there, be preaching away, and one of those come out. Well, I still know every one of them. Karen, I still know every one of them. I tell people every once in a while, people, sometimes they'll cuss a blue streak in front of me and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that in front of the preacher. I say, you know what, you didn't say a single word there that I hadn't already heard and that I hadn't already used. So you don't need to be apologetic to me. You know, if you're willing to say it before the Lord, certainly I'm not in the same compartment as he is or the category he is. And so if it doesn't bother you to say it in front of him, it sure shouldn't bother you to say it in front of me. But anyway, I finally just got to the point where I have to say, Lord, you know what? I can't do anything about it. I really can't. And so if I have to preach, I'm going to preach. And he literally, he took that worry away from me. I don't believe ever to this day. Now, I may turn right around and before the sermon's over, one come out. But so I don't believe to this day that I've ever been up and preaching and I'm going to come out, you know. But let me tell you something. That we have to work people at being able to be slow to speak and swift to hear. We too many times, before we ever hear what someone else is saying, we've already stated our opinion. Or sometimes whenever we're angry, we don't think about what we're saying and how devastating that can be to another person's life. Have any of you ever just had somebody who just literally crushed your spirit by the things they said? Maybe said them direct to you. Sometimes maybe you've heard that they said it to somebody else. James says the tongue is an unruly member which no man can tame. And I can tame. And I believe that. The only way it can be controlled and the only way it can be tamed is for God to be able to take control. I'm serious about that, folks. I'm just as serious as a heart attack this morning. That's the only way that it can be done. That's why that sometimes I think we just need to understand. We do have to have the Lord in our lives. He said, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. See, we've been able to tame everything else in the sun. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how much you may think you have in the way of ability over someone else, I'll guarantee you, you can't control their tongue. I could, if I was strong enough, Ronnie, I could say I was going to settle with Ronnie right here and he's not going to move from here. And he might not move from there if I was that strong. But I'll guarantee you, I couldn't get a hold of his tongue and stop him from talking and saying whatever he thought about me for doing it. With me? Remember the thief on the cross? Every member of his body was controlled. He was nailed to the cross just the same as the Lord was. But he still had his tongue. Yeah. And he used it. He said, Father, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yeah. That was all he could do. He couldn't fold his hands in prayer. He couldn't frail out at anyone. All he had was his tongue. And he used it effectively. See, we can use this very effectively. We can use it for good, or we can use it for bad. And I need to get on down to that. But James said, we have tamed every other thing there is upon the face of the earth, except the tongue. He said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Think about that. Have you ever been guilty of just saying, I'll get even this that old heifer? I'll get her straightened out, or him, whichever the case may be. Yeah. And we know how to do it. We saved people are as guilty as anyone in the world of hurting other people. And I mean that. We are the last people in the world who should be hurting other people. I'm very open about the fact that we Baptists, we fuss and fight. Now, other churches pretend they don't. And they'll tell you they don't. And Lord only knows, they probably would like to have you come there, but if you went there, you probably would mess it up for them if they're that perfect. Because most of us aren't that perfect. But it is a shame sometimes that we fuss and fight to the point of where that we are destroying the spiritual lives of one another. Listen. Therefore, Blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. James said, you know what? We want to praise the Lord, praise the Lord, and then we want to turn around and curse our fellow man. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Think about that. James said, can a fig tree bear olive berries? Well, we know the answer. No, it can't. Neither can an olive tree bear figs. We don't want them to. Somebody says, we've got the means today where that we can graft these things in. Well, you don't have a genuine fig tree or an olive tree then anymore. You've grafted in something else. James says, you know, sometimes we just have to use common sense. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Who is the wise man among you, endured with knowledge? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now, in another place, the scripture says, God is not the author of confusion. Sometimes our churches need to remember that. God does not confuse, does not cause the confusion that is among us. He is not the author of confusion, but of peace. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. I would say probably if any of you have the occasion to have someone say to you, well, you know, give me a definition of salvation, that's probably about as close as you're going to get right there. Now think about that. Wisdom which is from above is first pure. Pure. When God saved your soul, you know, it was perfect, it's pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm a little early today. That has been owed to you for a long time. For those who haven't been here, you get the benefit of some of these who've endured some long ones. But I hope that something has been said out of the Word that will help you to understand that if there is any one thing about any one of us that probably we have less control over than anything else, it is our tongue. It can get us in trouble quicker. Or it can also be the thing that causes us to be able to help someone else and help ourselves whenever that we talk to Him. But see, you don't talk to the Lord with your tongue. Think about that. You talk to the Lord from your heart. He's not listening to hear what the words that may be coming from your lips. Because he's looking into your heart, and he knows what's in our heart. The Bible says he even knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart before we even think them. That's pretty powerful. But we've got that little unruly member that we, every single one of us, know how to use very effectively and very efficiently, either for good or for bad. And just depends on what my temper level is as to which one I'm using it for. Maybe I should say my temperament.